This tape is a session with Bartholomew in New York City, the 24th of September, 1985. Questions asked were rather long and seemed to come from the back of a large room, and so I'm dubbing in questions that I think represent what was asked at that time. The first question asked was, how can I know the truth instead of just believing the truth?
What I think you're trying to ask, and if I'm incorrect, you must correct me, is how to go from hoping that there is a God, hoping that life has a purpose, hoping that there is some kind of sense going on, rather than that other sense that seems to engulf some people so that they know totally. Is this what we're talking about?
Yes, Phil.
Well, how many years do you have?
Probably not enough.
No, my point is this. It is a lifetime occupation to live the kind of life that you're talking about. It takes day after day after day of a renewed commitment, day after day, in whatever way is now applicable, to keep two things going. One, your openness of consciousness so that everything is open, so that you are receiving, constantly receiving new material. And the other is constantly watching for the old that catches you up and limits it. I think the main thing I would ask you is every day, in whatever way you can, be so aware of what is going on in your own mind, in your own response to your world. Do you understand? So that the thing that blocks knowing now... Now look, if there is a God, and everybody says there has to be, that, all right, then that should be something you can experience. That should not be something you read about, you know, on Sunday. It should be a knowingness. And then even to compound the chaos, everyone says it's always going on inside of you. It should be there for you to appreciate and to experience. And then the human psyche says, well, if all that is true, why don't I? Why don't I know that God is in me? Why don't I know that I'm alive with that kind of power? Why not? You know, all the great books say that it is true. Then why does man, as they walk along their lifetime, not know this? You know very well it's because so many other sounds are just resounding in your ears all of the time. You have been trained to move through life with caution. You have been trained to move through life to be alert to what's going on outside of yourself so that you can be safe, so that the world will not somehow attack you, so that you can make your way in the world. All of these things. Now, all of a sudden, in order to really understand what's going on inside of yourself, you must reverse the flow. You must reverse the process. And it's very much like when you're in a very highly accelerated car and you begin to slow down. It takes a while. If you slow down too quickly, you know precisely what happens, do you? So I would ask you to keep very aware of one thing. It is a slowing down process, meaning that the outside interest, the interest in keeping things going in the outside, gets slower and slower and slower. At the same time, there's this other feeling within you, because you keep, you know, the only line that's applicable here is knock and it shall open. Seek and you shall find. You know, it's been said. All you have to do is each day, in whatever way is applicable for that day, keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. And it changes all the time, my friend. It changes all the time. One day, for example, it could be that you know that really you should shut out the world, stay home, be still, be silent, be centered, all right? But you see, you've made 8 plans. You know, you have to go to the museum, you have to go to lunch, you have to go out to whatever. And so all of these things are already in motion. And so instead of saying spontaneously, well, thank you, friends, I'm not going, you go. You see, you do not live a spontaneous life by asking what it is daily that you want to do, because your lives are already decided days, weeks, months, years ahead of time. The spontaneous life means a simple life, means keeping things as simply as you can within the parameters of the life that you must lead. You understand? You live very busy lives, but you don't have to extend and compound the problem by being even more busy. Do you understand? It's a willingness to live as simply as you can, whatever that means to you, and then every day to follow the intuitive responses. Because some other day it may be that what's absolutely applicable is to go out into the world and do something. If all you need to do, my friend, is every day, in whatever way seems appropriate, you just keep watching. You keep listening. You keep alive to the hope. You keep alive to what you hope is going to happen to you. It is You know, if you read any of the saints, eventually it comes down to the one thing. They hoped and they hoped and they hoped and they prayed for many years, and one day they knew. They crossed over a line, an arbitrary line that they could not have known ahead of time was even there, but they just kept trying. And I know that sounds perhaps like an avoidance, but it is not an avoidance. To live the life divine, you've got to keep looking for it moment after moment, and some days it's one way and some days another. If you can simply keep your consciousness alive that that's what you want. You know, if you know you want to go to medical school, every moment of your day you know you want to go to medical school, and eventually you finish it and it's done and you're completed. It's the same kind of knowingness that has to carry you moment by moment. I want to know what's going on. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Is this real? Is this false? Am I being told lies, or am I really in the hands of a true divine power? What's truth? And if you just really begin to use that desire daily in every way, changing shape and form, and not get stuck to any one way, then I think the way begins to open in an acceleration, in a path of added power. And that's really all that can be said, because it's those moments of experiencing divine. You see, you wouldn't bother, unless you were drugged here by a parent or something, to be here tonight in this hot room, a beautifully hot room, Mr. Papadopoulos, if there was not something in you that already knew that the journey to the divine was real, that it was applicable, that you were going to get there, that there was enough of you an awareness of that truth that would keep you here, you see? So there's already that process. Otherwise, this kind of thing would never be yours. You would never choose it. You'd be next door at the sushi bar. You see, but here you are. Now, that is absolutely what I ask you to count on, is your own knowingness on a deep level that there is something to find and that it's not made up, that it is absolutely real. And if others have found it, why not you? Just keeping that awareness moment by moment. Don't ask other people, because their way is not your way. The closer you get, the quieter you become, the more alive you become, the more the way shows you. The way shows the way if you just watch for it. There's nothing else. There's no formula. Never has been, never can be. Just one day at a time, one foot at a time. I'm glad to see you again.
Next question. How does one cope with life after losing the most important person in his life?
Well, my friend, I don't have a lot of instant answer for your friend. The difficulty with being a human being is that on taking physical birth, the doorways to other openings close down. And you find yourself crammed into a physical body, looking through eyes and all of the separated consciousness of the senses. And so you're told from the very smallest to the very last day of your life that all that you really are is this small person running around in a body, looking through eyes that see chaos. And this is how the human sees. The path to freedom and peace and harmony, or whatever you want to call it, God understanding, is finally deciding that there is something within this world that keeps telling you that you're something greater than the physical body. Now, his difficulty is very clear. He believes her to be a physical body and himself to be one. His doorways are not open wide enough so that he can see or sense that she's all right. You see, it's almost like, I want to know if she's all right. It's just as simple as that. Is she all right? How can I help her? What's going on her side of the veil? You know, these are the basic questions. The answer, my friend, is not simple. I do not know anyone who suffers the death of a dearly beloved one that doesn't ache and go through a tremendous amount of suffering. Even the very, very wise and expanded ones, when someone in the physical plane leaves, there is that time of mourning. And all I can say is, please beg him to mourn boldly. Boldly. To really claim his mourning, to mourn it as best he can, as boldly as he can. The last thing that's helpful is the stoic answer that hides behind the facade and says, I don't hurt, I don't hurt. Because you see, that kind of pain and suffering just turns in on oneself and goes into the body. So if you have friends who have lost, just let them please suffer boldly. And do not in any way keep them from that kind of understanding. In the process, as it happens, there will be times, if he can remember them, when he has a sense that she's all right. There will be times when he'll have a sense, she's all right. He'll wake up, for example, one morning, and he will have a sense that something's shifted in himself, and he feels all right about the whole situation. There's no way back. There's no way. You see, the other way of looking at this is, why, if you are masters of your own destiny, would you pick life that has death in it? I think this is a very bold question. And the bold answer is, it was not meant for you, and you all know this, to just run around this earth plane century after century after century, simply enjoying the earth experience. What you have come to understand is who you are, past all those small, limited parameters of being a body. You have come to understand you are vastly more wondrous, vastly more powerful, alive, wise, compassionate, than the human situation shows you to be. So death comes, and it is a reminder. Pain, suffering, illness, loss, come, reminds you, bangs you on the head. Oh, I remember. Good heavens, I remember. There is some greater purpose here. This isn't all there is for me. I understand now. It is no good saying to someone who is bleeding, and I truly mean this, it does not do any good to say, oh, it's all for your good. No, that is not something the heart wants to hear. At this moment, it is not for the heart's good. The heart aches and absolutely has to be honored in its aching, acknowledging that that is a part of what's happening. But there comes a time, as you well know, that it will pull out and things will smooth out, and then other kinds of perceptions can come in. But basically the question is, why did you program death into the earth experience? And the answer is simply to keep banging you on the heads, to remind yourselves that this isn't all of it. This is a very small part of it. This is so small compared to the capacity of the human psyche to feel and move other states of consciousness. This is so small. And it is that kind of activity, when you know death is coming, when you know illness and this, then one begins to live a life wanting to find out truths, wanting to find where that place of peace and expansion is. And then, of course, the spiritual path begins, and so on and so forth. My friend, there's no answer other than that I can give. There is one thing that often, at some time, helps. The more that he can remember that this is the experience of all mankind. I know that sounds mundane, but I assure you, if he can just remember, it comes to us all. It does. If he can remember that in a very deep way, it shifts the focus off of the personal agony and expands it to a greater state. Do you understand? I don't even know why it works that way, but it does. Man suffering through his own life, trudging alone, has a certain amount of pain. Open that up to a greater understanding that this is mankind's total journey, and it eases the process. And my friend, is to stand and know that the process of grieving will come to an end.
Next question. Would you explain a little further what you mean when you say life is living you?
You see, because you have this idea that you are a little body running around a globe, and the globe is filled with chaos, and other people and other events move you without even your permission, this is the perception man has of himself. And they get locked into this concept. And so you have to be reminded through the verbal plane again and again and again and again that you are simply being lived by an incredible energy vortex that you call life, that is constantly moving through you. You know, if you thought about it for an instant, you'd be relieved of all anxiety, because you know, if you're being honest, that you cannot of yourself give life to yourself. You know you can't keep your heart beating and your breath going. All of you know that. But you see, you take this amazingly wonderful thing, it's so old, you know, you've done it so long, you know, you've forgotten how wonderful it is. You have forgotten how wonderful it is to be animated by a power and a force and an energy vortex that comes into you and moves you and has all of your life in it. So, life is living you. Each moment, each moment, each moment. Now, where you get stuck, of course, is again in that limited concept that here you are, that somehow you're trying so hard, you see, to keep yourself going. But if you, for your own self, my friend, and I think this is a personal question more than anything else, if you could just begin to take yourself out of your mind and the thought process and start putting it into the feeling process. My friends, please understand one thing. God is not an idea and God is not a thought. God is a feeling. It is a feeling. It is a feeling. It is a feeling. Anyone who has ever experienced it will tell you it is a feeling. It isn't an idea lodged in your brain. It's a feeling. It wells up and it carries you from moment to moment to moment. It's a feeling. Now, it is my absolute knowledge that that is going on all the time. The more that you keep asking yourself, all right, you know, I can just hear you this, you know, you, I love your humor, and I can just hear you saying, all right, you guys, if you're always going on, then let's feel it. You know that? That's the wonderful thing about you and your humor. I ask you to keep that now on your own behalf, constantly asking that feeling to manifest itself. You see, again, the great ones, they wander around begging God to reveal itself. And that's the same process that you're asking. If God is, if life is living me, if there is a God present, then I want to feel it. You know, it's that kind of statement, I'm ready. I'm ready. Now, the thing that keeps you ready is to keep asking the question inside of yourself over and over and over again. If it's true that life is already alive and well in me, I want to feel it. I want to feel it now and now and now. And the more you turn your awareness within, the more it's going to begin to become a real feeling for you. And I don't mean in just some moments when you're seated. I mean all the time, walking around, whatever your life involves. If you'll just keep waiting to feel it, do you understand? Just keep waiting to feel it. All right, you windy spook, talking about life living you. All right, let's have some proof. And the more that you could ask yourself to address, I can speak that way about myself. again and again, going back to that question, then what you're going to do is to begin to get your own body and your own mind and the combination of body, mind, and emotion ready. Ready to listen. You know, it's a matter of listening. 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 Feeling it. Feeling it. You're confused because the mind chatters all of you so loudly that you can't feel it. But if you will just begin to go back to the feeling and forget the mind, drop into the feeling, drop into the anticipation, even drop into the anger of why isn't it here? Just get out of your mind. Because, I repeat, the divine is a feeling. If the divine is real, you have the capacity to experience it. If one human consciousness is capable of experience God understanding, why not anybody else? There is nothing different, you know, in the physical mechanism. It's all the same. You know, it's all there. Either you can receive it or you're not. It is my knowledge that the human body, exactly as it is an excellent receiver of that kind of power. So please, life living you, keep paying attention. What does that mean? As you walk, what does that mean? You know, instead of going to a Zen monastery and getting a koan, use your own. What do you mean, life's living me? I can just hear you. What do you mean, life's living me? I love it. Try it. Day after day after day, my friend. Because the more you ask, the more the probability that you will get the answer. If you do not ask, nothing happens. An excellent question. The question was, is the comet going to affect any part of the world? Well, my friend, mankind, and that includes womankind too, has been praying for years and years and years. We want signs. We want signs that a new age is coming. We want to know that a new age is coming. Here it comes. Here comes the comet. Here comes the power. Here comes the outward invisible sign. You bet. A tremendous amount. And in a very practical way. You have been told that the energy is moving onto this planet in a different form, in a more empowered form, which means, of course, more stirring up, more problems, but more probabilities of solutions, more of your, if you want to talk about it this way, more of your karma coming up to be looked at, however you want to look at it. You see, all of these things are coming at the same time. And what they're doing in actuality, you know, think about this. You know, have you noticed the number of planes that have had difficulty in the last few months? Have you noticed that? All right. Now, why? 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 Well, part of the reason, of course, is, quite frankly, that anything that is non-human is not viewed as having a life. So therefore, one statement, very frankly, is that some of those beautiful pieces of equipment have done enough and should, in your words, be retired. Certain enough stress, you know, even the human vehicle, just enough stress. So on a very materialistic level, too much stress, especially if it's been broken in any way, it's not the time to put them back up in the air, but they'll do what they want. But on top of that, pay attention, because with this incoming power, with the energies beginning to change, when your weather is changing, when the seas and the tidal pools and the volcanoes and the earthquakes, everything is starting to churn up, and mankind, who has been told that this will happen, is hanging on and saying, oh, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, but it is happening. And the comet is another piece of this entire puzzle. The best possible way, my friends, for you to use the power of the comet is to realize that anything coming into your solar system and coming that close to the Earth is going to start causing change. Changes, eruptions, differences. Everything is no longer in order, and things are going to start being turned up in a most wondrous way. You see, you can look at it one of either way. If you are a pessimist, then of course this is all terrible. But I ask you, so many of you have been praying for so many years to experience total new consciousness, something new. Well, you're going to have a chance. The only thing that depends on you is how are you going to use it? Are you going to hang on and be afraid, or are you going to let it loose? Are you going to just allow yourself to say, all right, man's destiny is change, and I am going to welcome it no matter what it is. I am going to keep on welcoming change moment after moment. The planet is going to bring you a lot of change. It already has. And the comet's coming into you so very close is going to have change. What are you going to do with it? If you begin to realize that you have the capacity to open up your being and begin to feel power in a totally new way, then you are going to be able to use this at maximum. But if you close yourselves down and become afraid, then it's going to bash on you. So my dear friends, please just consider opening up your consciousness and allowing the new. Don't wake up every morning determined that the day has to go your way. Wake up in the morning determined that the day has some newness, some power, some excitement, some expansion. Keep alive. Don't hang on to the last. Just let things unfold. You know, they've known it. You know, the Tao has been spoken about for centuries. The Tao does what it will. Have you noticed? You don't have a lot to say about it. Your choice is either you participate fully with the Tao, enjoying and exploding into the newness every day, or you hang on to the old and say, oh, please don't change it. Please don't change it. And it's a matter of heart, and it's a matter of mind. You know, it's just every morning, all right, this is a new day. Some of it seems to be under your control. But most of it, my friends, if you're really looking, is not. This is not a negative statement. It's an absolutely exciting thing. You know, God, if you want to talk about it that way, moves through you in his or her own pattern. It isn't your pattern. If it was your pattern, you will be like this for the next... Do you want to be like this for the rest of your life? Is this what you want for the rest of your life? If so, you'll be disappointed. It can't be done. And if you just turn the dial a slight bit that says, I am willing to be different, to have my life be different, to have those powers outside of myself that know so much more than my little mind, you know, to begin to push me and prod me and lead me on my way, to open up. You know, they've always known God existed. You know, they've always known God was real. They've known it for centuries. It's only lately that you've begun to doubt so heavily. The old pattern was they knew. All they did every morning was wake up and say, all right, where is he going to pop out today? You know, I'm truly, I know it's there. Is it going to be in my life? What's going to happen? What is going to come to me from my world? Because they knew God existed. And they knew that God had a way of moving mysteriously in their lives through other people, through events, through birds, through animals, through visions, through dreams, through hunches, everything. They've always known that, but not anymore. So now you are left with very few ways of knowing that, but I want to tell you something that you might have to re-remember. God truly is alive and well, and you don't have to worry about that. If you just start reading your daily life for experiences of where it's popping up, then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself involved in an amazingly new kind of life, because you're always looking. You're always looking. If you're looking for God, then life can be an exciting experience. But if you're looking for safety, you see, you've gotten yourself so afraid that you're looking for safety. Safety means things have to be the way you planned them. They can't have spontaneous eruptions. They've got to be the way you planned them as best as possible. That's where you've gotten yourselves to. Those of you who would really like to begin to explore a new dimension inside of yourself, start asking, all right, where is it going to pop up today? The more that you look, the more you're going to find it. If you just start looking without any preconceived ideas, the divine is screaming and yelling from all parts of your life all of the time. You know, the North American Indians have known this for a long time. You know, in your old roots on this planet, you've known it in many, many places. The divine explodes all of the time. The problem is you're not reading it anymore. You're reading each other, because you read each other's faces, because you want to be loved, because you want to be safe, because you want to be secure. Well, there might be something more interesting than being safe and secure. I think God would like to say, why don't you try God. Why don't you try God? Why don't you try something a little more exciting? Because in truth, is it all that exciting to be safe and secure? I don't see that registered in your faces. I think what is really exciting is living each moment not knowing where it's going to pop up, where it's going to come into you, how it's going to feel, who is going to show it to you the next moment. To live waiting for God to show its face to you is an exciting, exciting drama. I suggest it to you as a possible.
A woman told of meeting a very beautiful person dressed like a guru on a street in Rome. And she went up and asked him, are you Jesus Christ? Because she felt such a radiance from him. He answered, if I am Jesus Christ, then you are Mother Mary. And she asked it again with the same reply. And then he blessed her. And she was just filled with bliss and asked Bartholomew, what do you think about it?
I think several things are possible. One, it might have once been someone who really did not know, but who was so removed from personal reality that he had a sense of freedom. On the other hand, it could be someone who was in a state of deep inner life. If you're asking me if it was Jesus, my answer is no. But what does that matter? Because, you know, Jesus himself would not choose, quite frankly, to return to this planet right now. I don't think it's an appropriate gesture for the Christ to come back in body form. But I do think that there are people, when they get into that flavor, you know, either through intense meditation or fasting or so forth, their reality starts to expand. They start to see things as one. And I can see how an expanded being could say, someone who's really expanded could say, well, I feel like I could be that state of awareness. And if I am that, since I'm in the male, then since you're in the female, you could be the feminine Mary. I could see that. But what I think you should stick with is not the ideas and the thoughts, because that could be totally misleading. But if you did feel a state of expansion around this person, then what I would ask you to remember is expansion is possible. Absolutely possible. And so perhaps all that was really meant for you is a reminder that you too, if you choose to, can go beyond name and form and to feel all of that openness that is that bliss that you were feeling. It sounds like a very important moment to you. So, good.
The next question seemed to be asking basically, what is the relationship between living spontaneously and making plans?
The answer is very simple. You've already answered it yourself, but let's just tell you what you said. The only thing that you can do in making decisions about the future is to stay right in the moment and say, in this moment, is it appropriate for me to be planning for 1988? If the total feeling is yes, then you do it with perfect love and bravado and great fun, all right? If the feeling is no, then you don't. There's only one place in your life that you can go to know what you should do. Because you see, otherwise the mind tells you, the mind says yes and the mind says no. And then to complicate it, you can go out and ask other people. And 16 will say yes and 16 will say no. So you're back where you started from. The deep question is, what does mankind have to go on to decide day by day, moment by moment, what is appropriate for them and what is not? And you know the answer because you've done it in the past. I will just tell you again and hold up the mirror of your own understanding to say this. If you have clear motive, which means you have to examine the motive. The motive is obviously not to make a stockpile of food so that you can be a millionaire when the Holocaust comes or whatever they've decided is going to happen. I don't know, whatever that is these tapes are saying. So you know the motive is clear. The motive is to keep yourself and your family and as many people as you can in good harmony, stability, and so forth. So the motive is clear. Number one, please, always go to your motive. If the motive is clear within you, then all that you've got left is you. You see, none of you trust yourselves. You are the right. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light for your moment. You've got nothing else. You see, you've got nothing else except who you are. And if you go inside of yourself and ask yourself deeply, what do I feel like this day? And just keep in touch with that, because there may be a point down the line that you say, I've had enough of that. I don't care what happens in 1988. Here I am. But that's not now. Now these things are coming to you. You feel prompted to do it. Then do it. Do you see? If you don't, there is no, you are caught on the horns of believing there's a right thing for you to do. And that you are this blindfolded person going through life. You know what? What a terrible God this is. He blindfolds you, shoves you out into life, and says, now you figure it out. And you're blindfolded, and you just walk around, you know, like this. You know, hands out, trying to find your way. No. 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 You have only yourself, all of the experiences of your being up to date, and you have to go with what you feel. And you have to begin to trust the spontaneity of knowing that if it feels appropriate for you and your motive is clear, then do it. And do it with great fun. You know, the problem is always, everybody gets very sober. When they start doing things for God or whatever, they get very sober, austere, and they're very sad and very boring to be around, and other people soon leave them because it's no fun. So if you can just keep life going through whatever it is you're doing, you have the appropriate, you know, you didn't launch yourself on this path without the tools. You know, you don't go on an overnight camping trip without just filling yourself with paraphernalia, don't you? Look at all of you, great big caverns, and you have these great big cars and trucks and buses, and you have everything on your back. That's for an overnight, right? Well, do you really think that you would launch yourself into life without having the equipment in order to figure out where you were going? No. No. I ask you to see yourself as much wiser than that. And there is within you the capacity and the capabilities. So please, don't worry about the externals. If it feels appropriate, if it feels like fun, I mean, how about that? Just plain fun. If it feels like something exciting and enjoyable, then do it. Now, of course, if you have to, you know, mortgage your house and everything in it and put your husband, you know, into the hospital with a heart attack over the amount of money spent, then you better relook it. But basically, if you can just do it because it feels appropriate, my friends, trust your feelings. If you feel like doing it and the motive is clear, please do it. If it's not going to harm anyone else, then what is the harm? You see, you have this idea that life, not just you, but that life is this linear thing, that you walk down it, and when you get to the end, there's the book of truth, and you're going to sit down in front of this book and start opening the pages, and now you will know truth. That is not it. Life is not linear. Life is constantly expanding in all directions at once. All that you have to go on is what you know inside of yourself, and that's enough. Unto this day, you have enough. Begin to trust that. Please begin to trust. Otherwise, you are locked in to having other people to be your authority. There is no authority other than your knowing. I mean that very, very deeply. And you will know.
A man, I think it was a veterinarian, asked whether the life force in animals is the same or similar to that within us, and what our responsibilities are towards animals, whether we're taking advantage of them.
My friend, everything that you eat, whether it be animal or vegetable, has a life force. Every time you cut down a tree to sit on a table or on a chair, you've destroyed a life force. Every time you walk on the ground with your shoes, you've destroyed life force. So I don't think that the question necessarily needs to be answered that way. If I could come at it in another way, with your permission. No, first of all, it is not the same. The evolutionary patterns of animals is different. No less wondrous, just different. All right. But I think the question is real, and I hear the place that you ask it out of, and I will answer like this. What you as humans do not really understand, because you are not of an animal kingdom, is that there is within them a built-in knowing of something that you only aspire to, which is sacrifice. They know on coming in to this world that certain patterns are going to happen for them. For example, most of the wild animals know they will be eaten too, but only by something else on 4 feet. You see, your problem is that because you walk on 2 feet and make choices between eating vegetables and meat, that you have a choice, you see? Now, most animals don't have a choice. Their body is set up so that they either eat meat or they do not. All right, now, the animal kingdom knows that it's going to be devoured by others. They know that as part of their own karmic unfoldment, and they do not have the resentment that you have about it. Do you understand? Because they come at it from another perception. So what I would ask you to do is just realize everything, the only thing that you can do is to keep honoring the sacrifice. You see, you sit down and say prayers to God to have you use the food and so on and all of this. What I think is excitingly appropriate is to thank the life that gave it to you, that gave its life that you might go on in whatever way was applicable for you. A sense of gratitude, of thank you, is really appropriate. You cannot possibly move through life without destroying other life forms. It just doesn't happen. It is only the human consciousness that gets involved in this dilemma. And I understand, if it is easier for you to not eat what would be called the red-blooded animals, then by all means, do not. It's a choice. It's an inside choice. If you feel better, don't do it. But please understand that they don't feel the same way about it. They know that it's the way of their own existence and the way of their own ending. Does that make any sense to you? If they just feel differently about it. It's just a different feeling. Just as a carrot has a different sense of itself than a rabbit, it has a different sense of itself and its own destiny and its own why it came into being and where it's going. It's all a whole different kind of expression. All right? You see, I understand. I do understand the thrust of the question, but my answer has to remain the same. You experience that as a human being and put interpretations on it that are not in the life form that you're working with. Everything matters. Everything matters. Everything matters. Oh, absolutely. Of course it matters. Absolutely it matters. I did not say it didn't matter. I simply said, if you will only understand that there's an understanding deeply within the rest of the planet, they know that they live and are destroyed all the time. It happens all the time. It's just a different sense. But my friend, by all means, if you take a life of an animal, do it with all gratitude. However it is, do it out of gratitude and at whatever minimum that is appropriate for you. The question is, I have prattled to this lovely lady's brother at other meetings that there is an energy field moving across the earth plane that is having certain ramifications in life. And the idea is, since I brought up the problem, is there any help? And this is what I would say. Mankind is accustomed to being disaster-oriented. If you have stopped and thought about it, you are disaster-oriented. In fact, when someone comes into your life, yes. Can't hear? All right. Mankind is disaster-oriented. In fact, if you've noticed, somebody comes into your life that's totally positive, your answer is resentment. How come you're always seeing the right side of things? How come you're always thinking it's going to work out? Now, come on, don't be so unrealistic. You know, the life, mankind has a tendency to be disaster-oriented. So, now why? The question is why? And this you won't like, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's because it's more interesting than your normal, boring life of getting up, getting on your clothes, eating, going to work, blah. You know, it's more exciting. All right, so over the centuries, man, when they have to rely on things outside of themselves for life, for feelings of being alive, like to have disaster. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but it is a true statement. They enjoy the life because now they feel like, oh, I'm alive now. I'm really in trouble. You know, I've lost my job. You know, there's a sense of being alive. Now, the problem with this is it can be overdone because you can get into places where you really are. For example, that lovely lady's friend who's now there is a sense of tragedy because a loved one is gone, so forth. All right, now, what I would ask for everyone to attempt to do about this new energy, and if you just keep watching, you'll find it happening, popping up here and there in your earth plane, many other ways. We've just begun, you know, all of this new business. There'll be lots more coming. If you just start saying, this energy is here to get me out of my old rut. Now, one of the things that's going to happen is when new energy starts to build, you become dissatisfied with what you're doing. Because it's almost as if you have, the reason you feel less energy when there's more energy around is people hang on. They hang on to the way things are. They don't know how to let go. You haven't taught yourselves how to let go and let things start moving you. It's a sense of hanging on to the old for security reasons, for money, for whatever these things are. Now, the answer simply is, if you begin to feel lethargy, just realize it isn't because there's no energy around. There's always energy all around you. Then why aren't you feeling it? It's because everything that you want to do in your life that you look out is boring. Do you understand? If you thought that day there was something miraculous was going to happen to you at 12 o'clock, you would be there. You would be up and out and do whatever you had to go about to get there. But you see, because there's nothing tantalizing, nothing enervating, nothing expansive, beautiful, and wondrous, then it's just the same old humdrum. Now, this energy is going to start to push you, meaning you're going to have to start asking yourselves, how can I start to live more dynamically? That's the only question you have to ask. How can I live more dynamically? How can I be more alive to myself, to what's around me, to the plants, to the beautiful plants, Mr. Papadopoulos? Truly lovely. Truly lovely. How can I be more alive to everything that's on and around me? If you get up in the morning with that simple question, how can I, you, expand my life this day, and start asking yourself a basic question, you're going to start finding ways. You see, you have been trained, all of you, to be very good boys and girls. And good boys and girls do not ask themselves in the morning, what do I want to do? You ask, what does mommy want me to do? What does daddy want me to do? What does my husband, my wife, my boss, my whatever? You never wait. You have been trained, all of you, to be very good boys and girls. And good boys and girls do not ask themselves in the morning, what do I want to do? You ask, what does mommy want me to do? What does daddy want me to do? What does my husband, my wife, my boss, my whatever? You never wake up and say, boy, what do I want to do this day? And really have the sense that you are allowed to do that. Because what I find is a serious offspring of this is when somebody really begins to do what they want to do, up comes this feeling of guilt. Oh my goodness, I'm doing this. I'm doing it just for myself. I can't do this for myself alone. I have to start doing it for other people. You see, you have been trained. Now, spontaneous life means you be responsible for what makes you feel expansive, powerful, If it means quitting your job, heaven help us, quitting your job, doing whatever it is, you say, that's what's holding me down, and I am going to be courageous, and I am going to do it. You know, living life according to the divine process is a spontaneous, ongoing risk. It's a risk to live by your own inner feelings instead of what the world outside tells you. It's a risk. But you see, the alternative is either you risk or you fall asleep out of boredom. And so many of you are bored. It's boring. It's boring. It's boring. You would not have no energy. You see, it's not a physical thing. You're not ill. In fact, you're very well. That's not the issue. Then what? Because there's nothing alive. There's nothing that captures you on an energy level that says, this is going to move my energy. This is going to expand me. This is going to make me feel alive, and I want to do it. Now, who is going to be responsible for telling you what to do? Well, in the old days, and that's the old story, somebody else has to tell you, no, it's not going to work anymore. If there's anything that we can say about the New Age, it's on your plate. You have got to make the decisions. You have got to decide, this is no fun anymore, and I want to do this because it's going to be more fun. Do you see? That means you keep throwing it back on yourself, being responsible. Somebody said to me, I can't do what I want because I'm sure God wouldn't approve of it. You see? And I said, well, what is it that you had in mind? She said, I don't know, but I just know that anything that I decided to do, God would not approve of. Now, I asked her, and I asked you, who's talking? Is it really God talking, or is it some great big, very, very strong figure in her past that says, you know, you do it my way, or you do it the wrong way? You see, this is the way people are trained. This power is going to start to move you. Now, the scary part, which is probably also what your very dear brother spoke about, was this. It is my knowledge, many of you don't believe this, but I have to say my truth. It is my knowledge that there is a part of you that I choose to call the deep self that wants you to know exactly who you are. A creative, dynamic, extending part of the one God. That's what you're moving towards. And you're not a separated, isolated human consciousness. You're vaster, more powerful, so forth. All right, now, the deep self of you wants you to understand that and to realize that. And that's where you get scared, because there's a part of you that knows full well that eventually, if you do not choose to quit your job, if you really want to know who you are, the job will fall away. If a relationship is strangling you and nothing is happening and you're just, it's dead, then something happens. And everyone says, oh, I've lost it. And I say, well, did you like it? No. Well, then why are you upset? Because I lost it. You know, it's that sense of, I didn't like it, but now that I've lost it, I don't know what I'm going to put in its place. Every time change comes to your life, for heaven's sake, ask the appropriate question, which is, how can I feel it more filled with life? You know, instead of, you know, don't go back and get handcuffed again. You know, wait until you've had a little fun in your life before you get handcuffed again. Meaning, don't go back to the old patterns. I don't care what they are. Every time something is taken from you, it's not because it's a negative aspect. It means it's because it's time for something new. If you've been trained since you were born that change was wonderful, optimum, and if you weren't able to change, that would be negative. Your whole lives would be different. You'd start living with this abundant excitement about what's new. How can I make a new and wondrous life for myself day after day? It's a different perception. The answer is simple. Every day, if you commit to the responsibility of living a creative, dynamic, expansive, divine life, then you're going to be in the flow, in the Tao of the moment, and everything comes. And it is through that kind of understanding that the divine walks right into your life. Besides, it's more fun. One moment, please. There was a question. Could you have it?
Next question had to do with the difference in functioning between the right brain and the left brain and having them become balanced.
It's another way. Right. All right. The right, left brain and this. Look. Man is constantly trying to find models to express what they don't know what they're talking about. You know, constantly trying to do this. And one of these ways, which is very, very useful to many people, is now we talk about right and left brain. All right. My answer is, it's one wonderful way of explaining it if it merges and has meaning in your moment, by all means pursue it to the end until it, you know, until it does whatever you want. You see, my friends, there's no way. There's no one way. There are millions upon millions of ways, because everyone is their own way. And it's just keep falling back and watching what's around you, getting excited about those things, throwing yourselves into them, finding out. You know, it's a matter of the flower expanding, you know. Every day it just opens a little more wisely. And if this is what excites you, by all means. The only difficulty is, don't make it the rule, now everybody else has to do it, because, you see, that's where mankind gets into trouble. That's where all these great religious edifices get built up, and then you have your wars because, you know, God's on my side, no, he's on my side, and then they say, no, it's a she, and it's not on either of your side because you're men, and all of this goes around and around, and it's all built on this very strange statement, which is, if it's right for me, it's right for everyone. Please, my very lovely lady, if it feels exciting to you, do it. Do it. Watch it. Be your laboratory. Does it work? You see, take it from the mental, which we were talking about, into the experiential. If it begins to change and move and give you the expansion, then you know that for you at this moment in time-space, it was perfect. If in another day in time-space, it is no longer perfect, then the warrior says, thank you very much, drops it away, turns with gratitude, and moves on to the next. Do you see? It's exciting. You will be amazed. Yes, my friend, truth. And there are many more coming. This is why I say it's just begun. It's just begun. What you're going to start having, as you well know, is some kind of a mechanical opening through machinery that will let you know, there is a God. You see, some of you can't take drugs because that's not in your life, all right? Drugs show that. Look at the 60s. Many people, without question, had tremendous experiences. Some of you are not oriented that way, but you can move with the machinery. So the machinery will be the opening. But once you've opened it, you're still left with the job of figuring out how to get it incorporated into your life moment after moment, because you can't go around with the machine all the time. You know, eventually you'll have the same feeling about the machine that you had about the other things. But it's wondrous, and it's getting it's getting better all the time, meaning faster, with less risk. The trouble with the drugs, tremendous risk, tremendous risk. But they didn't mind, because when they saw, they saw. And it changed their lives. The ones that didn't do well were the ones who could not manage to find a way naturally to move toward that process. But the same thing will happen in the machinery. Great, wonderful openings, yes. On a higher level, it's wonderful. In the old Tibetan lamaseries, they knew this. They had the bells on each side, you know, one on each side of the ear. And you had to learn to walk so that the hums between the two bells, you see, they didn't ring very loudly, were absolutely on the same note. And when you could do this, they had a headgear, you'll see their pictures, a head apparatus, you know, and as soon as they were in perfect equilibrium, that sound went right through and the opening came, you see. But that took longer, you see, many years of getting that balance. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I think you should all be very, pat yourselves on the back for having come at this time.
A woman says she has a friend who is channeling material which she says comes from Jesus, and asks Bartholomew's opinion about this.
I'm getting myself in trouble all around tonight. Now, please, let's talk about this word Christ. Christ and the archangels. I know many people who say they're channeling Raphael and Michael and all of this. I know others who say they're channeling Christ. I don't mean this sarcastically, but in truth, that power that you call Jesus Christ of 2,000 years ago has expanded tremendously in 2,000 years. And the energy vortex that you called that is so empowered that it is not possible for it to speak in a direct way as they're speaking of. Now, my friends, listen. It is very possible for someone who is in an expanded psychic state to say, oh, I'm talking to the Christ. Because looking at it, it probably looks like that person's feeling about the Christ. Now, the words don't come, I know this, the words do not come, I am the Christ. Because if that is true, you see, that's not what happens. What happens is they see and feel an image. They translate it as being the Christ. And there's, in a sense, there's no harm done. You know, if the teaching is clear, if the teaching is true. For example, there are so many people channeling St. Michael and Raphael. I wonder if they have any time to do anything else, you know, because they're just all the time. They're everywhere. Well, what does this mean? Does this mean these people are frauds? Of course not. It means that they have tapped into an incredibly real and empowered vortex of energy that has information it wants to get down here. So I ask you, don't listen to the names. Go with the awareness of the teaching. Does it help you? Does it free you? Does it uplift you? Does it make you feel alive? Does it give you your power in knowing that you can find what you need to find? If so, then don't worry about that. Look, there's always going to be error when you've got this kind of thing. Always. You cannot have a perfect 100% channel. It is not possible. We're talking about moving through layers and layers of consciousness. You know, you can't even in this room start here and end up there with the same thing. You know, we'll start here, and by the time it gets over there, going through all these people, what will we have? It'll be different. You understand that wonderful game that children play. Well, if this be so, please be very, very, be aware that when it has to come through all these other levels of consciousness, it's not going to come perfectly clear. It cannot. Just be alive to the responsibility of making your own decisions, your own choices. And the only way to really decide is, does it change anything or is it just words? If it's just words and nothing has changed, look out. But if it changes, if you find yourself more like your neighbor rather than different, if you feel yourself more one with everything, then it's wondrous. Don't worry about the name, please. It's probably because the tradition there in Europe is so strong in those particular areas. You know, someone in China taps into Buddha. You know, it's just whoever they're used to seeing. That doesn't negate the teaching one iota. Go to the teaching, experience it. If it fills you, follow it. If not, something else.
Someone else asked about being treated badly by a friend.
Are you asking how do you get over your feeling of betrayal? Well, the first thing you do, my lovely lady, is to acknowledge your anger, your rage. Acknowledge that. Say to yourself, you see, the problem with the human being is you have all these feelings, but you don't allow yourselves to feel them. You allow yourself to feel the full range of all the good ones, but you come around to the other side of the circle where all of the, what you call the negative ones, are embedded, and out of you comes this resistance. I am not supposed to feel betrayed. I'm not supposed to feel anger. I'm not supposed to feel hostility. My friend, the honest admission, day after day after day, I feel betrayed, I feel, just say it, I see it, I feel it, I feel, acknowledge it. I mean, you do not go around 24 hours a day, you know, inundating them with your feelings. You stay within your own confines of your own psyche and say, right now, I feel all of these things. The first job is to acknowledge them and get them moving. You see, humans are great stuffers of emotions. They take them and they stuff them down their front, down their back, in their pockets. They stuff these negative emotions wherever there's an opening. They just stuff them. And then they just leave them there and hope that they'll go away. But you see, they don't go away. They just get stronger and stronger. And then somebody else comes into your life. You know, and they say that you will begin to be free of it when you get down to acknowledging as clearly as you can that you are angry. First statement, over and over again. And the second part, which is very hard, in the midst of this anger, I love myself. Right now, I love myself. In the midst of this anger, I love myself. Because what happens is that you begin not to love yourself. Because you feel, you see, you feel her betrayal, but you also feel your own sense of not being big enough to fly over this problem. Do you see? There's a part of you that says, I should be able to not have these negative feelings. And I ask you to understand, you are a human being. You're in a body. You have an emotional body. Don't you understand? A part of being a human is you have an emotional body. Its job is to feel emotions. That's what its job is. You have been taught not to feel emotions. If you would just acknowledge that feeling emotions is part of being a human consciousness and not making such a big deal about it, so you feel this way, it's all right. You see, just start acknowledging it's all right to feel the whole scale of emotions. In so doing, you'll start lessening on it. You'll start feeling bigger. You'll start feeling more acceptable to yourself, wholer, more whole, moment after moment after moment. Eventually, just as in grief, eventually you will come to balance with it. You will not come to balance with it if you keep telling yourself that it's a wrong thing. And the second thing is, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything about her. Do you understand? That's her business. My friend, that's your responsibility. You have to decide. But please, let's go back to our earlier question. What is your motive? Look carefully at your motive, my friends. Before you ever go to anyone else with this kind of a thing, sit down and grill yourself. What's my motive? Do I want to just let them have it because I'm hurt? Or do I want to go because I want to really clear up the situation? Or is it a little bit of both? And it could very easily be a little bit of both. All right. Then the decision comes out of that. But whatever you do, my friend, be responsible and realize that whatever you set in motion, you have to stay around in order to keep in it, to keep in it, to keep in it. If your motive is really to clear up the situation, that's one thing. But if it's really to go in there and just get back in some way, think about it, because that's how karma goes. You know, you get hurt, you hurt them. They hurt you, and then endlessly. So it's got to stop somewhere. So think about it. But first and foremost, please allow yourself the honesty of your real feelings. Day after day after day, until you know them so well that you're so familiar with them that they're not enemies in any way and they feel very familiar to you. And then do what you want with it. But I do say, please watch, because it's no fun to start a karmic ball, you and them, back and forth, back and forth. Then where will it end? And they come around against you, and there comes your feelings back. Look to the motive. You don't have to do it that way. You know, you can just do it in absentia, meaning the person doesn't have to really be sitting in your living room, but you can let them have it anyway. You know, you can get it out without them having to be there to receive it. Please consider that. Just out. But you see, it's a human condition to feel hurt. In fact, someone asked me what I think to be a very wise question. How can humans ever really love other humans, because they are so accustomed to being betrayed? It's a wise question. And the only answer that I have for you has nothing to do with human love. It is my firm experience that human love continues to hurt one way or another until you start bringing in the divine love. Without that, it just keeps on hurting. Until you start getting impersonal love moving in your life through whatever way, you'll keep on being hurt. It's just the way of it. But when you start getting that impersonal power going, when you start doing all of those things, letting life live you, however you want to talk about it, when you start really deciding that you are going to be victims of pain and suffering in the emotional realm until you get something bigger than that going, just accept it. It's not so hard. Just say, all right, human love can be wonderful, and it can be terrible, and it's always going to have moments of being painful. You know, the worst line is, and they lived happily ever after.
If they had not put that in, things would be much wiser, because that statement sets up things of expectation. I have never known a human love affair to not have a lot of pain in it. But if you understand that as part of the given, then you don't start looking for Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, whatever. You understand pain is there. You acknowledge it. You stand firm in the pain, say, all right, let's deal with it. Pain is present. Pain is now. Pain is here. But you see, if you this idea that human love has got to be perfect, my friends, your logic must tell you that it doesn't work that way. But if you just realize that's what the human condition is all about and not try to look to the small kind of love affair to give you that feeling that you're really looking for. You are looking for the most incredible feeling of love. You know that. You know that. You look to the human condition time after time after time, and that is not where it's found. You have moments of it. Of course you do. Of course you do. The human love affair is a nice mirror for that. The problem is it gets very confused, and soon it turns into something else. But remember how it felt, because that is the closest you have probably gotten to the feeling that you're looking for, which is that incredible feeling of what I would call the God love. And that's my experience about what you're really looking for. And the human situation will not mirror it, because that's not its job. That's really not its job. So, if you can just let that go, acknowledge, yes, right, there was some beauty and there was some pain. But the question is, how can you find the divine love? That's really the only question. Truly the only question. So don't be sidetracked. All right. The question, what does it mean in your moment of time space to have this advent of what is called AIDS so terrifyingly sweeping across parts of the world? My dear friends, let's not be simplistic, all right? This is not just, we do not say, what is the meaning of cancer? Nor can we say that there is only one meaning for this particular situation. One of the things that is absolutely true is that many people need to move into a very deep understanding of sexuality, what it means to them, and how they, out of their own intuition, can live their life most creatively and abundantly. That's true. So, on the one hand, you could say that sexuality is the issue, but not in the way that the negative mind would have it. There has to be a way for mankind as a whole, the whole part of the Western world and wherever it might go, to begin to get inside of themselves and ask the basic questions, how do I live my sexual life the most dynamically and creatively, with the most awareness, with the most clarity, whatever it might be? That it is faced around the sexual issue is absolutely obvious. It is around this particular issue that it is coming into focus. It is an issue that, to be quite frank with you, has been lying asleep in the active sense for a long time. You know, from the time of the Victorians on, it's been very, very strange sexually on this this part of the world. And very few people have had a chance to ask themselves the question, what do I think? Because they've had other people always telling them what they thought. Now, whenever there is a necessity to look at an area of consciousness that is being buried, then something like this comes into creation. Cancer, for example. You could say, what was the reason for cancer? It was very clear. Out of the cancer difficulty has come a dynamic understanding that the medical model is not... Hey. Stay in a way that's creative with their own energy fields. What can they do to keep themselves free of all of these things? Instead of always, you see, until the cancer came along, the medical model was rather victorious in the sense of everyone just believed in it. And then along came something that put, there will always have to come doubt when you put your power outside of yourself. Doctors do not keep you free of cancer. You do. You have to do what you need to do. You all know this. I don't mean to lecture around something you already know. All right, then what is the lesson about the AIDS? You have to begin to examine closely your ideas about sexuality. You have to decide what it is for you that is the most dynamic way to live your life, being responsible for your choices, knowing that there's risk, and being responsible. Now, because it falls into the physical arena, and because the end product at this time is so horrendous, it gets everybody's attention, just as cancer did when it first came out to be something to deal with. I believe that you have the capabilities, one, of coming up with a solution to the dilemma as far as the physical model is concerned. But more than that, instead of moving into fear, watch what's happening. People are moving into fear, into exclusion. Many, many hard things are coming up over this issue. And people are going to have to start addressing the issue outside of the sexual realm. For example, the fear of the children in the classroom. Is it realistic? Is it not? So many things are going to be brought into question. And what I ask you to do is to not get simplistic and say, AIDS means so-and-so for this planet. The question is, what does it mean for you? Deeply ask yourself, does it bring up your fears? What does it have to say about you? What does it have to say about your ideas of all of these issues? Take the responsibility of saying, what do I feel? And what do I intend to do about my life around that issue? There has always been something in the world that takes away life. Cancer was a terrible thing. Now it's getting underway. If you've noticed, it's getting a lot into another realm. Things are beginning to happen as far as clarification, as far as safety, as far as not having the same ideas brought up again and again. New choices are being made. It's a dynamic thing. I do not say that it's wonderful that cancer was here. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying there's a wondrously victorious way to deal with all of the things that that come onto your planet. And I feel very deeply and sincerely that when you take the responsibility, each one of you, for explaining to yourself your perceptions, your fears, what does it bring up for you, what are all of the things around that issue, and start dealing with them on your own, if you want to help in the whole situation, you can help best by figuring it out. What does it mean for you? Now, I understand the other point of view. When so many people, so vital and so alive, are all of a sudden dying. Well, you know, my friend, if you notice the patterns of countries, the pattern of this country is there's always been, for example, wars. It's been a while since the wars have come and taken the men. Now there's something else. You see, if there was a war on, it would be understood, it would be obvious. They've gone to war and they've died. Why is this a negative statement? I realize from your perception, death can be a very negative issue, but I would like to really tell you and to remind you of something that you already know. It's absolutely the moment of heroic wonder and beauty when done from an empowered position of choice, and I know you know that. There's no war going on now, my friend, for your country. There has to be, please understand, as a positive statement, there has to be ways for young people to die. I don't mean this as a negative, it's a wonderful thing. There has to be a way for young people to die. Outside of suicide and war, what's really left is accidents and illness. They've always been there, and they will always be there in one form or other. It is not... It's hard to say anything from this side of it, and I understand the agony, and I see how it feels. All I can say is, when it is necessary for the entity... Look, so many things to say. I have limited time. Let me just say this. An entity chooses to die when it realizes that that maximum moment for death is appropriate.
that there is a time when all things are moving into equilibrium and it's best. In other words, the momentum is the best for doing what they have to do, meaning that the different parts of them, their mental, physical, and so forth, everything is in a state of more or less the necessity is there. And they make the willing choice. And they say, this is the vehicle. You know, it's some people walk down the street and a brick box drops on their head and you say, is it caprice? No. There's this inner knowing. There's an inner knowing in the body that these things are appropriate. For those left behind, it looks dismal, it looks difficult. I understand that. Nevertheless, people choose what is available out of the repertoire of your choices. I know it sounds, I don't mean to be simplistic, but do you understand what I'm saying? There are only a certain number of choices. You don't want to commit suicide. That's not, you know, the whole entity says it's time. So they look around and they pick away. Because it's necessary to leave. It is not necessary to stay. It is inappropriate. It is painful, but it's correct. Never say someone dies in order to help someone else. That is not the truth. A consciousness dies because it's appropriate for it to die. And you will know this directly when you start to do the same thing. When you start to go, you'll say, I'm not dying so that person can get enlightened. Phooey. I'm dying because I need to. Because there's certain things in my mechanism that say now is the time. The off-ramp's present. I'm going. You look around. You pick your choices. You can't get all of you get hit by, you know, lightning, something dramatic. You know, you take what's there. You see, you get very involved, but it's true. You just take what's available. What will teach you as a consciousness, what will teach you? And you pick from the choices to mankind, you pick what's appropriate for you. You make that choice. A lot of people that are dying of AIDS are dying victoriously with a tremendous amount of power. Tremendous amount, because the time span is short. And they're able to really understand that. You see? Soon there will be a solution. By that I mean there will be a cure. At which time, this will no longer be available. I don't mean to be blasé. I'm trying to tell you, if you look at it from the dynamic side of it, people need to have creative choices of how to leave this planet. And it is empowering to say, I've got 5 months to live, and I am going to do it like a warrior. I am going to get my life in order externally. I am going to be as powerfully alive until the end. It's a dynamic way to die. Do you see what I'm saying? Just try to see it from the other side, which is the amazing power of knowing that it's going to end. As soon as there is a cure, then a lot of other people will fall into that category. People who, you know, will get well. People who, you know, never mind, you understand. I'm just trying to say it's a victorious choice for so many people.
A woman asks whether it might be considered a little cowardly to choose to leave rather than staying for the excitement of this so-called new age.
The answer is yes and no. The answer is some people aren't through living life the way they want to live it, and so some of them leave. Other people who are very, very wise and maybe don't even need this new age are leaving. You know, a lot of people that might not need what's coming up. You know, they might already understand a lot of things. You know, there are a lot of wise people on this planet. And I think what we have to do is drop any kind of statement about anything other than everybody is doing the absolute best that they know how to do. Oh, no. Do we always have to leave for the negative reason? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Every case is different. Every case is different. Some people will go to help. Some people will go to hinder. They'll do whatever they need to do. It doesn't matter. They make a choice. You see, where you get in trouble is trying to decide, you know, is it right or is it wrong? Please, if there's any model that I ask you to drop out of your consciousness, is it right or is it wrong? They did it. As wonderful friends of your friends, just support them in any choice they make. If they have decided, consciously or otherwise, that they want to leave this planet and they want to die, then your job is to help them the most creatively delightful way that you know how, which is by saying to them, what do you want? What do you want from me? I want to help you. It doesn't do any good to say to them, well, you're certainly, rat deserving, leave a sinking ship, and how can you leave me, and you should stay around, and, no. Whatever their choice. If you could just, from your side, death looks like this huge, huge thing, The minute you get on the other side of it and look back, it doesn't look like that. It's just from where your perception is.
A woman asks whether there is some divine plan in the greater longevity of women over men.
I can honestly say that is something I have absolutely never gone to find out. So if you'll give me a moment, that's a new question. All I can feel strongly is this. One of the most important lessons that anyone needs to learn, women particularly, men generally, and I am speaking totally in general terms, men generally, as their main issue, do not have the same main issue that women have. Women have been trained from the very small that they are supposed to grow up and get married and have children and be good wives and so forth. Now, a part of that process is they very much learn to depend on their husbands. They learn to, do you understand? They become second to them, in some of them, not all of them. They do what they can to serve and so forth. And they do not have the experience of standing on their own feet, truly, of learning that there is that capacity of consciousness that can allow you to be alive and well without a partner. Men do not always have that same kind of problem. Their problems tend to lie in other areas. These are general statements. Now, I do not think that God has decided that there should be more women. I just simply will say this, that if it is your necessary lesson to learn that, then you will stick around and program your life so that you will be here. All right? And therefore, what we could say, looking at it, is there are a lot of people with that as a main issue, and I think that's very true. The ability to know that without that external support, that you can nourish yourself, have a wonderful, exciting, dynamic life, without of all those old beliefs there, yes, I think is essential. Because, my friend, please understand, what your deep self wants you to learn exclusively is you have everything you need every moment of your life because you've got the divine. That's what it wants you to learn. And so, of course, it's going to take those extraneous externals away from you in order to say, well, now, you see, it's you that's taking it away from you. It's not God, saying, well, we're going to take that away so that you'll suffer and learn. It's not like that. You program your life out of your own blueprint that says, this is what I need to learn, so therefore this is what I will do, so I will marry that man. It's all intuitive, under the surface choices that you make. So, yes, I can see from the Western point of view. Now, you go to other parts of the world, and the situation is totally different. For example, in Ethiopia, it's simply not an issue. You see, it's a Western issue. So those people who need to deal with that are right here. So I would ask you to just live as victoriously every moment, whatever it is that your issue is. Everyone comes with an issue. Whatever hurts you is your issue. And the job is to turn it so that it looks victorious, exciting, dynamic, and that you can stand as that sense of warriorship.
A woman asks about the difficulties of getting information from other areas of our own consciousness.
Now, understand, just as you have to learn again and again and again how to ski down a mountain without breaking your neck, so do you have to learn how to move to those other states of consciousness without not breaking your neck, but getting into areas that you don't want to go to. So what I would say is just trust that when you get part way and fall back, that's all right. Just the next day, do it again, or whenever it happens, again and again and again. Going back, making the pathway clear. It's just a matter of building the bridges. And each time you go a certain degree, you build the bridge. The more you go over it, the stronger it becomes. Anyone who meditates knows this happens. You start knowing there are certain parts of your awareness that you can go back to often, and then sometimes you can't get there. And you sit there and you say, well, why can't I? Well, just be patient. Be patient with the process.
What you're saying is it's just practice.
Yes, it's just like learning to ski. You just keep going back, all right, going back, all right. You fall down, pick yourself up. But you know, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's an exciting way to live your life.